couple of years ago in this year, we started learning Rabbi Nachman's Sichos Haran. Rabbi Nachman's Sichos Haran, as opposed to the Likutei Moharan, which is long, long Torahs, or some of them are very short actually, but many of them are much longer, more complex Torahs. Sichos Haran are the conversations of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov that he shared along the way. Some of them sound like, you know, Torahs. Some of them sound like conversations, Sichos. And they're relatively shorter pieces. Very often each piece more or less stands on its own, so it's easier to follow along day by day, as opposed to working your way through a longer, more complex piece of Likutei Moharan. And since several people suggested we should learn the Torah of Breslov, so I thought Sichos Haran would be a good thing to get back to. Now, when I say get back to, it means I'm literally going to pick up, because as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's like the question that we've shown him discuss, like, what's the most important pasuk in Torah? There's no most important pasuk in Torah. So, are there more famous pieces of Sichos Haran and less famous pieces? Probably. But every piece is important. And if you want to catch up on the first 58 pieces, the Shirim are all in Wayu Torah. If you've never learned Sichos Haran before, that's also okay. You could jump in right here. And it happens to be that the piece that we're going to start with, Os Nun Tes, happens to be a very cryptic and unusual piece. One of the reasons we stopped the Shirim at the time was, A, we ran out of time, but B, I was a little nervous to try to explain this piece. But I want to try to explain this one-liner from Rabbi Nachman, which is not so easy. And I want to make it particularly relevant to us. When I say us, I mean friends who are learning together. Rebbeim and Talmidim. I'm not sure who's the Rebbe and who's the Talmud. We're going to figure it out together, I guess. But we have a lot to learn from each other. And I think what Rabbi Nachman here says about raising children is relevant to the relationship between chavrusas, between friends, between husband and wife, on a certain level, between Rebbe and Talmud, even though on the surface it's going to rub you the wrong way. And it should. It can and it should. It's going to need a lot of clarification. Okay, so let's first read the line from Rabbeinu, from Rabbi Nachman, Sichos Haran Os Nun Tes. Rabbi Nachman says, Misugol yoser labanum lios rachuk mehem, levli lios davuk behem lishasheya behem, bechol pam. Rak levli lihistakal aleim klal. Friends, this is a puzzling line. It is better for one's children to be distant from them. Now, I could tell you, as a father, that sounds absurd, that sounds crazy. I want to be so close with my children. I want to have a warm relationship with my children. Right? You're telling me it's better for my children to what? To ignore them? I feel guilty. I feel terrible when I have to ignore my children. And I would never do it unless I had, you know, something else that was important, that was pressing. Right? But even when there's a justification, I feel guilty and terrible about it. So what do you mean it's good for the children to be distant from them? Not to cling to them all the time? L'sha'asheya behem b'chol pam, not to play with them all the time. Not to call people back when they reach out, as I'm guilty of sometimes with some of you. Right? That's a good thing, Rabbi Nachman says. I feel guilty. I feel irresponsible. Again, we're going to blur the line between parent-child, Rabbi Talmud, just to make the point, because I think it's absolutely true. Rabbi Nachman even goes so far as to say, Rak levli l'stakal aleim klal. Sometimes don't even look at them. And that's the whole piece. That's it. That's the whole thing. I have the sefer in front of me. That's the whole piece. The next piece is much longer. Osamach is much longer. That's the whole piece. Rabbi Nachman told his chassidim, his talmidim, you shouldn't be too close with your kids. What does that mean? So, to make the comparison also from parent-child to Rebbe and Talmud, let's see another passage from Rabbi Nachman in the Chaim Oran. Chaim Oran is another volume that records some of the travels and the adventures of Rabbi Nachman. And in the Chaim Oran, we find something also that is going to sound rather shocking. Rabbi Nachman had Talmidim who clung to him. Rabbi Nachman had people, and they were big people, and they clung to him with great kirva, with great closeness, and with great dveikus, with great mesiras nefesh, to be connected to the Rebbe. And yet, at times, Rabbi Nachman totally, totally pushed them away and made it as if he didn't want to have a relationship with them. Rabbi Nachman writes in Chaim, he doesn't write, but it's recorded in Chaim Oran, in his travels and days in Uman. It says here, Od Shemati Oz Mirav Naftali, one of the Chassidim of Rabbi Nachman. Shepam Achas Shal Hu Ba'atzmo Espi Rabbeinu Zichrono Levracha. Bama Yesh Le'elu Hakale Olam Eza Sheiches Vizkarvas Elav. When Rabbi Nachman was an Uman, and at various points of Rabbi Nachman's life, he was very close, he was very connected to Jews who were, or people who were Bechlal, not connected to Torah and Mitzvos. Not connected to Torah and Mitzvos, not connected to his way of life. And Rabbi Nachman would often interact with them. He would spend time with them. He would talk to them. He would play games with them. He would engage them in conversation. And Rabbi Naftali, one of the Talmidim, asked Rabbi Nachman, well, I don't get it. What's the sheiches? How are you close with these people? They have nothing to do with you. They're not chassidim. They're not from. They don't learn Torah. Many of them are koifrim, a bunch of heretics. What do you have to do with them? These people are so far from the holiness of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman was a tzaddik, he was a kadosh, he was a tor, and he's hanging out with a bunch of maskilim, a bunch of enlightened individuals, who bechlal were the antithesis in many regards to the Torah and the values of Rabbi Nachman, the kedush of Rabbi Nachman. And look what Rabbi Nachman said back to his talmidim, and imagine how hurtful it must have been to hear this. V'heishav lo Rabbeinu Zichrono Levracha, Rabbi Nachman said, B'ma yesh lachem sheiches v'skar v'selai. You have a shayla. He looked at his chassidim who followed him around the world, who clung to his every word, and he looked at them, he said, you have questions. You have questions how these people who are not from, who don't learn Torah, who don't believe in Hashem, you have questions how they're close to me. Rabbi Nachman looked at his talmidim, his chassidim, he said, what sheiches do you have to me? What sheiches do any of you have to me? Hello, atem etzli rakamo notzos shalabeged. He says, you are to me like feathers on a garment. You know, like when like a little feather comes out of a pillow or out of your jacket or whatever, and it lands on your coat, lands on your shirt. Shekishenofeach aleim miad parchin v'nistalkin me'elav. That when you blow on it, it disappears. It flies away. Rabbi Nachman said to his closest talmidim, you're nothing to me. You're like a feather on my coat that I could, with one little blow, I could make you disappear. So what's Rabbi Nachman saying? I don't understand. Rabbi Nachman was a lover of Jews. Rabbi Nachman was a great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov described the most wondrous Lashonos of how a Jew has to love another Jew. The Baal Shem Tov said, I love the lowest Jew more than a father loves his only child. So Rabbi Nachman, if you love the Koifrim so much, if you love the Mahilim so much, how are you pushing away your closest Talmidim? Chaver, this is a very hard passage. We need to understand what Rabbi Nachman was doing here. He wasn't being mean, and he wasn't being disinterested in this Talmidim. You have to understand, there was a technique he was using here that is so important. And I really, I'm not much of a Rebbe, but I really tried to live this with the people I interact with. Sometimes I do it in an irresponsible way, but I think it's so important to emphasize the need. And again, I'll be honest, I want more input from you guys. When I ask you for input, what do you want to learn? I want 30 people to respond. I don't want 2 people to respond. I want to know what you're thinking about. Tell me what you want to learn. Say I don't want to learn. Say I'm going through a really tough time since this whole ridiculous pandemic started. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I want to learn. At least, But be present in the conversation, because at the end of the day, and this is what Rabbi Nachman I think is emphasizing, I think this is the yesod, at the end of the day, your Yiddishkeit is going to be what you make of it. It's not going to be what some Rebbe, tells you how to live your life. And people get annoyed at me sometimes when they ask me for advice, and I always ask them, what do you think? And they said, no, that's why I'm asking you, I want your advice. I was talking to a guy last night. Guy who's dating, pretty seriously, wants to know, if I have any thoughts about his relationship. I said, I don't know. What do I know about your relationship? Now, I want to hear, and I care about your relationship. But I always come back to this line, just pulled it off the shelf, in the Lubavitcher Rebbe biography by Joseph Telushkin. You've seen this, Cheva? You've read this? It's a great read. It says here, this picture of the Lubavitcher Rebbe officiating a wedding. You see, I have it highlighted and bent over. From Menachem Mendel Schneerson, a picture officiating at a wedding in 1948. When Rabbi Menachem Mendel became Rebbe, it was common for Hasidim to seek his guidance regarding the finding of a spouse. Once when a young man asked him, if he should become engaged to a girl he was dating, the Rebbe responded, when it comes to a marriage, listen to this, not I can help you, not your father can help you, not your mother can help you, not your intellect can help you. The only thing that can help you is your heart. If you feel for her, go ahead. If you don't, do not. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, who answered every shaila on everything in the world, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, at a certain point, a person has to look inside of himself and decide, what do you want? What do you want? Not what does my mom want? What does my father want? What page is it on? It's on the picture pages in the middle, so it's not really a page, but it's after page 302. It's between page, those pictures on in the middle of the book, between page 302 and 303. On the second pages of the picture of the Rebbe's officiating a wedding. You gotta trust your heart. You gotta own it at a certain point. Right? And we live in a generation, unfortunately, where people are irresponsible and people don't want achrayus and people want easy, you know, solutions to their problems. And I think that's what Rabbi Nachman's saying. I think Rabbi Nachman is saying it's not about, God forbid, not loving your children or loving your Talmidim. But it's about pushing them away that they should learn how to do it on their own, to be able to be self-sufficient. And I think it sheds a lot of light on some very difficult Ma'amari Chazal, right? But it helps us to understand perhaps what it's about. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Rosho Kesem Paz, it's describing really a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rosho Kesem Paz, Kvutso Sav Taltalim Shchoros Ka'orev. The locks of the hair are black like a raven. So the Gemara comments in Maseches Eiruvin on the words Shchoros Ka'orev, black like a raven, blackened like a raven. Rava Amar, in source number 4, the Gemara says, B'miyata Moitzan, Shchoros Ka'orev. Who is this talking about? Darkened like a raven. Rava Amar, B'mi Shemesim Atzmo Achzari Albana V'al B'nei Beso Ka'orev. Such a hard Maimer Chazal. Like what? Like a person, like a parent, or like an individual who treats his own children and his household cruelly, like an orev, like a raven, which is not the most loving of birds. And the Gemara tells a story here, it's even too painful to read, about Rabbi Ada bar Masna and a conversation that he had. And essentially this feeling of just like almost a disregard for one's own family members. Now, again, the Gemara is telling us that if you want to have success in Torah, you need to sometimes, it's talking about from the person's own personal growth. If I'm too busy with my family, I'm not going to be able to work on myself. Again, it sounds antithetical to so much of what we as balanced, healthy, normal Jews believe. But again, part of the idea is that we want to create people who are able to be self-sufficient, who are able to figure out how to do it on their own. Because you're not always going to have someone to be there to help you along. It doesn't mean that your parents are looking to abandon you or your Rebbe is looking to abandon you. But Rabbi Nachman is saying, if you're busy, look at the words Rabbi Nachman used. So look at how it's printed here in Sichos Aran. If a person is always clinging, if a person is too clingy to their child and is always l'shashay b'em, is always playing with them, right? So then the child's not gonna be able to the kid's gonna, you know, say, I'm bored. I've heard that a lot. I've heard that a lot from my own children during the course of these last 6 months, right? Because, you know, it's everything so different. So people get bored easily. Well, find something to do. Does that make me a mean parent? Does that make me a bad father? Or maybe it's important to figure out, what are your interests? What do you like to do? What do you like to learn? How do you like to learn? What do you want to do with your spare time? If I gave you 3 hours every morning, if I said what we do in our shir is that we get on, you know, the Zoom in the morning, we say hi to each other, and then everyone should go learn on their own. That's how you get an A+ in shir. Not that shir is about grades. So what would you do with the time? What do you want to do? You want to learn Rashi on Chumash? You want to learn Halacha? You want to learn Rabbi Nachman? You want to learn Gemara? What do you want to do with yourself? What do you want to do with your life? At the end of the day, the choice is yours, and that's what Rabbi Nachman is trying to teach, right? Because there's a danger, and again, you see it in many modern parenting techniques where parents want to be friends with their kids. And you know what happens? And Chazal knew it very well. It backfires. That doesn't mean you can't be friendly with your children. I love my children. I'm very friendly with my children. But it's also important that there's a clear line that I'm the parent and you're the child. And when that line becomes blurred, there could be a total breakdown of a hierarchy of society that's healthy and normal. The Gemara says in Sota and Daf Mem Tes that one of the signs of the end of days, take a look at this, Be'ikvus Mashiach, one of the signs that you're getting close to Mashiach is Chutzpah Yaske. The Chutzpah is going to increase. There's going to be this total disregard for authority. Right? Now that'll manifest itself in many different ways. For some it'll be in the form of calling to defund the police. For some it'll be, I was watching yesterday the Amy Coney Barrett matzav that's brewing, for those who are following, and that a senator should just keep referring to the President of the United States of America, who you don't have to love, you don't have to think he's a gewaldic guy, you don't have to think he's a big tzaddik. You don't have to love even his policies. You could think he's a pompous jerk. But to just keep saying Trump, not even saying President Trump, I think is disrespectful. As a senator who's in a high-ranking position in the United States government, right? You should refer to the president as President Trump. There's a basic way that you communicate with someone who's in a position of authority, whether you like the person or not. So the Gemara is predicting that one of the signs that we're getting very close to Mashiach is just this chaotic breakdown of the structure of society, chutzpah yaskei, a total insolence, a disregard for authority. And look how the Gemara presents it. Na'arim p'nei zekeinim yalbinu. The younger generation will have a total disregard. They'll embarrass, they'll disgrace the elders. No respect for the elderly. Zekeinim yamdu b'fnei ketanim. The elders will stand up for the youngsters. Ben menaval av bas kama b'ima. A son will disrespect his father. A daughter will rise up against her mother. And a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And that's an old one. That's been around for a long time. But the other ones are a chiddush of the ikvus of the Mashiach. And then, oyvei ish anchei beiso, to the point that there's such chaos that your biggest enemies become your own family members. So how does that happen? How does that happen simultaneously? It's because there has to be, and it's Rabbi Nachman's teaching, what Chazal are teaching, a person has to know their place. There's a way to talk. There's a way to talk to an adult. There's a way to talk to a rav. There's a way to talk to a parent, and when that breaks down, right? So it becomes difficult for the parent to give love to that child or towards that Talmud in a healthy and proper way. Now, however, we have to remind ourselves that we're doing this with Hashem all the time. We're doing this with Hashem all the time in the sense that we're striking this strange balance of what? In two words, how would you describe the balance? Two words that we say over and over in the Yom Noraim, Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu. Hashem is a father, Hashem is a melech. We often think of Malkeinu as being sort of the stern king. The Av is the loving father. But even the father, what we're learning here is that the father also has to balance. The father also has to strike a balance between what? Between love and reverence. There's a mitzvah to there's also a mitzvah of mora aveim. It doesn't mean fear, God forbid. You're not supposed to be afraid of your parents, right? But an awe and a deep respect that a person's supposed to have. And this balance that we're always trying to navigate in so many different arenas in life. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Yetzer, Tinok, V'isha, Tehei Smol Docha, V'yamin Mekareves. When it comes to one's yetzer, when it comes to one's inclination, when it comes to tinok, to interactions with a child, when it comes to an isha, when it comes to one's spouse, tehei smol docha v'yamin makarevis. You have to push away with the left hand and draw close with the right hand. Now, the right hand is a stronger hand for most people. So that means maybe on a certain level, yeah, there should be more love than pushing, but there has to be some pushing away. Rav Shimon Schwab said, every time we daven, when we shuckle, this is what we're going through. However, this is what we're going. It's such a beautiful insight into something that we do with, you know, hardly any thought. But when we're shuckling, when we're davening, and we're swaying back and forth, we're going through this motion of wanting to draw close to Hashem, and then we pull away. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech, Ha'olam. Right? I say you to God, because I should feel comfortable to even say you to God, but then I pull back. Because I'm nervous. I don't want to get too close. I want to strike a balance. We just went through this in the calendar here. We have the awe of the Yom Noraim. And then what comes right after it? Sukkos, the love that Hashem showers upon us on Sukkos, and the love of Shmini Atzeres. When Hashem says, "You're my beloved, I want to be alone with you in the world." The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, "Smo lo tachas l'roshi." The small, the left hand is under my head, v'yamino tichabkeni, and the right hand gives a hug. You know what Chazal say? And the Svarim HaKadoshim elaborate on it. What's smo lo tachas l'roshi? Roshi is Rosh Hashanah. Is the Yom Noram. The left hand, which is Midas Hadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what? Is tachas l'roshi. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem brings out the left hand. The left hand seems at times like God's pushing us away. He's being too demanding. He's asking too much from us. And we feel overwhelmed by that, you know, the intensity of Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Tzlichos. And we're busy clapping Al-Chet, Al-Chet, Al-Chet. But then what comes right after that? Yemino Tichabekeni. Then the right hand gives us a hug. You know what the hug is? The sukkah is the hug. The Arizal says that the sukkah literally looks like a hug. Think about it. How big is a sukkah? Look at my arm. It's a wall, and it's a wall. And then how big does the third wall need to be? You can have two walls and a tefach. So if you actually look at a hug, it actually looks like a wall, and a wall, and then this last part of my hand, this is a tefach, the fist. Right? So when you're sitting in the sukkah, you're sitting in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hug. Shmini Atzeres is a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving you a hug. So which is it, God? I can't figure out. Sometimes you're pushing me away, sometimes you're pulling me close. But the Gemara says that's a healthy balance. That's how our life is supposed to be. Tehei smol docha. The left hand is supposed to push away. V'yamin mekareves. And the right hand is supposed to pull close. At the very same time. Smol lo tachas l'roshi. There's a time for Kadosh Baruch Hu to challenge us during the Yom Noram. To be a little bit tough with us. And yamino ticha b'keni. And then a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a hug. Okay? Good? Chava. Following so far? Mama, this is such an important yisod in every relationship you're going to have in your life. Whether it's your chavrusa, whether it's, again, Rabbi Nachman is saying, if a person is too clingy, if you're too dependent on someone else, it's not going to make a healthy relationship. There will not be able to be a proper feeling of love towards the other person if there can't be separation. If there can't be distance, then there can't be closeness. Okay. Now, I want to point out that as a parent, and as a Rebbe, and as a good friend, you have to be able to maintain some type of latent awareness of the person. Meaning, even when the parent is not looking, when Rabbi Nachman says that it's not good for a parent even to look at their child all the time, Rakub li lehistakel aleim klal, what does the word lehistakel mean? Let's be medayik. I don't know if Sicha Saran is really meant to be learned this way, but let's be medayik for a second. What is histaklus? What does the word mean? What does it mean, lehistakel? Nope. Anybody? You can unmute. Just unmute. You don't have to raise your hand. Just call it out. To watch? It's watching, but it's more than watching. It's more than watching.
Is it like staring?
It's a little bit more staring, right? Lehistakel means to watch in a meditative way. To stare at something, right? To stare at something, not to glance at something. For example, we find that by the halachos of Kiddush Levana. Right? When you go out to bless the new moon, you're supposed to, if you mean just follow the Archril Siddur. You should look up at the moon and then you recite the blessing on Kiddush Levana. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it says you should be careful not to stare at the moon, because staring at the moon, the Gemara says, causes forgetfulness. I'm not sure why. That's what the Halacha says. Staring at the moon, that's what Chazal says, staring at the moon causes a person to become forgetful. So if you look at the poskim on the page over there in Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that they draw a distinction between glancing, looking, versus listaka, versus staring. Right? Listaka means to look at in a prolonged way. So I don't think Rabbi Nachman's saying, don't look at your kids. Rabbi Nachman's saying, if you're going to be the type of parent, and again, maybe this is a little premature for some of you since you're not even dating yet, but it's true, I'm telling you, it's true for all relationships. Right? If you're going to be the type of parent that's always constantly hovering over your children, you're going to stifle them. You're not going to allow them to grow. I spoke to a woman the other day. Her child, who's not a kid anymore, he's a young adult, wanted to do something that the mother was very uncomfortable with. She felt that it was a reckless decision. It was a reckless behavior. And I spoke to her and I spoke to him, and part of navigating it is like, at what point do I let my children make their own decisions? And whatever's going to be is going to be. I know. Obviously, if I think their mom is doing something that's so dangerous that their life is in danger, I'm going to intervene at all costs. But learning how to let go and learning how to give space and learning how not lihistakel, not to be, you know, watching every single move that a person makes, right, is a part of allowing a person to learn from their mistakes and allowing the person to grow. So lihistakel is not good. But you have to be able at the same time to know, right, as a parent or as a Rebbe or as a good friend, that even if I'm not calling my friend all the time, my friend has to be able to feel in some way that if he needs me, I'm there for him. That he knows that from a distance, I'm always watching. I'm not literally hovering over his life. I'm not watching, you know, every second of this other person's life. That's totally unhealthy. That's what Rabbi Nachman and Chazal are teaching us. I have to be able to push back a little bit in order to have real closeness. I have to have real separation. The whole cycle of Taras HaMishpacha, of husbands and wives being permitted to each other and being distant from each other physically, right, allows for a healthy relationship, allows for healthy intimacy. So the Gemara in Bava Basra says that a Rebbe has to be an individual who's able to watch from a distance. How does the Gemara in Bava Basra say that? The Gemara says the following. It's a pasuk in Daniel. The pasuk says, "Hamaskilim yazhiru k'zohar rakia." Umatzdike harabim kekochavim liolam ved. Matzdike harabim, however, this is a good call to get involved in communal work. A person who's matzdike harabim, a person who tries to help others, matzdike harabim, who tries to improve and act in a way that's encouraging of the tzibor, kekochavim liolam ved, shine forever like stars in the sky. Now, stars eventually burn out also, right? But in other words, the efforts you make on behalf of the tzibor are permanent. It puts into motion a process that could leave a mark forever. You know, you start a new organization. So long after you're gone, it could be that your tzedak organization is still helping countless Jews around the world. So matzdike harabim, a person who's involved in klal work, who's involved in the tzibor, in helping to build up the tzibor, those merits last forever and ever. The Gemara says, what's an example of that? Elu malamde tinokos, a person who teaches school children, a teacher, right? It's referring specifically to teaching little children, but it's referring a person who teaches. When you teach Torah, you can have an impact on someone's life that hopefully could last forever. Kegon man, who's an example of this? Amar Rav, kegon Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. An example of this would be Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, by the way, I know it's not Purim, we're not even close to Purim yet, but it's never too early for a plot. Actually, says that Bnei Banav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah B'Bnei Brak, that the descendants of Haman actually converted to Judaism, and they learned Torah in B'nai Brak. Not only did they learn Torah, they taught Torah. And according to one version of the Gemara says, and who is the descendant of Haman? The same Haman who tried to destroy the Jewish people and hated Jewish kids who were learning Torah. One of his descendants became a paradigm of what it means to be a good Rebbe and a good teacher. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. The Gemara says Shmuel Bar Shilas is the descendant of Haman HaRasha. How do we see he's a good Rebbe? Look at this. The Rav Ashkeche Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rav found one time Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Davekai Beginsa. He found him in a garden. He saw him in a garden. I don't know if he was out for a walk. He saw him in the field. Amar Lei. So he says to him, Shavikte Lehem Nuscha. What are you doing walking around in the field? Right? Have you abandoned your profession? Meaning you're supposed to be learning with the kids. What are you doing out here? Amar Le, look what he said to him. Hatlesar shnin de lo chazili vashtanami daite ilavayu. He said, it's been 13 years since I've seen some of my Talmidim, and nonetheless, they're still on my mind. I haven't interacted with them directly in 13 years, but I'm still thinking about them. Right? I'm still, maybe he was saying to Rob, maybe he was one of his Talmidim. No, does that make sense? No. I don't know. He said, are you done? You don't teach anymore? He said, students I taught 13 years ago, I'm still thinking about right now as I'm out for a stroll in the field. Now, is he not in touch with them anymore? He still cares about them, so why doesn't he call more often? Why isn't he more in touch? And what's the comparison to the stars? Why is a Rebbe And this model of being a good rabbi, like Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who hasn't interacted with his students in 13 years perhaps, but still thinks about them, why is this compared to stars? So the Marsha says, I'll tell you why. Shakochavim gam bayom roin umishtamshin la'olam aval eina nirin. Because just like a star, if we go outside right now, Chevra, and look up at the sky, how many stars are you going to see? Not too many. Does that mean they're not there? Of course they're there. But you can't see them during the day. At night, you'll see the stars. Just like a Rebbe or a parent in a dark time is always there for their child. Right? The parent is there also in the light. But the parent or the Rebbe or the friend knows how to give space. Knows how to not be smothering. Right? The guy who's dating the girl knows they know how to give each other space and to be there for each other in a healthy way. To be able to forge a healthy relationship with one's with the person one's, you know, one's dating or one's seeking in marriage. So just like a star, says the Marsha, that can't be seen even though it's always there, Kain haya hamalam de tinokos af b'she'eno nira lehem, yiyeh mefakeach v'ro lios daito alayhen. So too, a good Rebbe is always thinking about his Talmidim. That doesn't mean he's always available. Sometimes, Rebbe, do you have time to shmooze? No, I don't have time to shmooze right now. All right? That doesn't mean I don't care about you. It doesn't mean I'm not thinking about you. It just means that there's a healthy balance of what? Being able to be present. And also, you know, understanding that I'm not going to be there literally every second of your life. And that allows for a greater relationship to be forged. Here's another Maimer Chazal. Look at this one. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, he told his son, Rabbi Gamliel, Zrok Mara B'Talmidim. Zrok Mara B'Talmidim. Throw awe. Throw fear at the Talmidim. How many of you are scared of me? Anyone here scared of me? I'm doing a bad job, I guess. Yeah, Jared, you're a little scared? That's good. I want you to be scared. Zrok Mara, I'm trying to follow Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's advice. Throw instilled dread. That's what it means. Zrok Mara, instilled dread amongst the students. What does that mean? What kind of jerk of a rabbi am I? I have to make you scared of me? What, it's a power trip? I need for my kavod? What's the idea? So if you look in the Agra de Pirka, by the Bnei Yisachar, Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, he says, I heard from Rabbi Nachum Mendel Zatzal, She'ikar kibol halavana mi'ur hachama hu berechkos kenoda. The main way that the moon is able to receive the light of the sun is dafka through the distance between the sun and the moon. And the farther it is in position from the sun, the more it's tekabel yoser me'or, it's able to receive its light that much more. But sometimes the closer you try to get to the Rebbe, the less you're able to actually get from the Rebbe. The same way that if the moon is too close to the sun, it's not able to radiate its light. The same thing is true in the Rebbe Talmud relationship and the parent child relationship. When you're too friendly, when you're too casual, when you say, oh, Moshe Tzvi's a nice guy, he'll probably give me an A in Shir anyways, even if I don't actually learn anything. Right? So then you're doing yourself a disservice. If you think I'm a tough Rebbe who's more demanding, who's going to expect you by the end of the day to know what Rashi says and what Tosfos says and what the Ran says about Bedikas Chametz, if you feel that I'm intimidating in that way, and I expect that of you, and I hold you accountable to that when we start learning Psachim, Mirtz Hashem, in a little bit from now, right? So then you'll be a better Talmud. If you feel that we're too buddy-buddy, so then it's going to hurt your own growth. And therefore, that's what Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi was saying to his son. Make sure that you create, again, this proper balance, which will allow for a greater Kabbalah. Yes, Yehuda. Yehuda David, talk to me.
I was just wondering, I know that there's a Maamar Chazal that only after 40 years does someone truly understand what the Rebbe said. I was wondering if it would fall, like, if it's talking about this.
Yeah, I think so. Through the distancing, yeah, it makes sense what you're saying, that through the distancing, right, a person gains perspective, the same way that this relationship between parent and child and sun and the moon allow for more light to be received with the passage of time. It's the famous letter from Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner has such a beautiful letter. He writes to one of his Talmidim. He said, I got your letter. It's a little different, but it's a related yesod. Rav Huttner writes to one of his students. He says, I got your letter, And I feel that I now understand the pasuk of David HaMelech. David HaMelech said, Lichu banim shimuli. However, think about that pasuk for a second. Lichu banim, lichu, go my son, go my child, go away, and shimuli, and then listen to me. Why would I tell you to go away if I want you to listen to me? Right? When I want to speak to my daughter, Meira, I say, Meira, can you come here for a second? I need to speak to you. Right? I don't say, oh, Meira, go outside. I need to talk to you. That doesn't make any sense. What do you mean, L'chubar, go away. I need to speak to you. Right? Yaakov, go away. I need to speak to you. That doesn't make any sense. So Rav Huttner said, he writes to this Talmud, he said, for years I was trying to have hashpa on you, and I felt like I failed. And now you write me this letter, after a number of years, saying, Rebbe, I want to thank you. You were so influential in my life. And I see that all the seeds that I planted are starting to sprout. So Rav Huttner said, that's what David HaMelech was saying. L'chu banim, sometimes when you go away with the passage of time, shimuli, then you're able to understand much better. When you have it up close, you take it for granted. Chav, it's true about your experience in YU. I know this is a weird type of experience in YU, right? But it's true. I hear all the time from guys, oh, I miss being in yeshiva so much. I had it so good. I wish I would have appreciated it more when I was there. And the part of the answer is you can't, because you're too close. You're too close to the light of the Beis Medrash. When you draw back, when you pull away, right? Like Yehuda Kolton saying, with the passage of time, you start to understand your Rebbe more. You start to appreciate it that much more. So Rav Huttner says, getting this letter from his student after a long time, this student, he felt like he wasn't able to have hashpa on him. Years later, now he said, now my Talmud's waking up to all the ideas, all the seeds that I planted. All the seeds that I planted in his mind long ago. But the reality is, the Rebbe's always there in the background. The Rebbe's always there. The parent's always there if they're a good parent. But again, the idea is that a person has to develop himself. There's a beautiful line, half a line from the Sfas Emes on Pirkei Avos. On the Mishnah, Aseh L'Charav. Chaver, what does it mean, Aseh L'Charav? You need to have a Rebbe. I don't have a Rebbe. I have Rebbeim. I have people who I look up to. I have people who I talk to. I never had a situation in my life where I really developed a particular Rebbe who was the primary, guiding force in my life. It's partially my own fault. It's partially the circumstances. I have different people who I consult with for different things. But Aseh L'Charav is a very important thing. To have someone, to try to find someone who, in a certain sense, is going to be your Rav, right? Whether it's for Psak Halacha, or whether it's for Hashkafic issues, to find someone who you feel is someone who is a healthy person who can give you the right guidance in life, because we all have questions in life. But the Sfas Emes tells us in the same breath, on the words that literally mean, make for yourself a Rebbe, the Sfas Emes says, V'gam yesh lefarish. You know what else it means? Asei lecha Rav, lecha mamish. Asei lecha. What does lecha mean? You. Asei lecha rav. Make yourself a rav. Mamish. Sha'odim yases atzmo l'rav al atzmo. You have to be your own Rebbe sometimes. You have to be a Rebbe for yourself. Right? Now he says it shalol etzeis me'agadar to make sure the same way that if your Rebbe was watching, right, there are certain things you wouldn't do in the presence of your Rebbe. So asei lecha rav. Pretend you're the Rebbe and catch yourself and don't do things that you wouldn't want your parents to see you do or you wouldn't want your Rebbe to see you do. That's Aseh L'Charav. But it also means be self-sufficient. Aseh L'Charav. This resonates with me in such a strong way. It happens to be my own spiritual roots. I have some family roots in the world of Prashischa, which is the world of Ger, of the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, and the Tzaddikim from that world. The world of Prashischa and the world of the Yid HaKadosh, who broke away from his own Rebbe on a certain level, the Chozov Lublin, because he felt that there was too much of a dependence on his Rebbe. And it's a complicated sugya. We're not going into it now. What exactly happened with the Yira Kadosh and the Holy Seer of Lublin, the Chozov of Lublin. But the Chiddush Arim, the first Ger Rebbe, explains a little bit about what that was about. Im ha-chasidim einem rotzim, gam ha-tzadikim lo yuchlu lazor. If the chasidim don't want, then the tzadikim are not able to help. You can't just expect the Rebbe to do it for you. You could be connected to the biggest tzaddik in the world. But the Chiddush Arim, the first Ger Rebbe, said, a person has to be self-motivated. Ki ha'ikr ha'yegiyah, shekol echad yisyageya ba'atzmo, b'toro mitzos. Your greatest success in Torah and Mitzvah is not going to be what shir you're in. It's not going to be what yeshiva you're in. It's not going to be who your Rebbe is. It's not going to be who your parents are. It's going to be how much do you want it. V'lo pasuk mahir al tivtechu b'nedivim. We say in Hallel, you know the pasuk well. Do not rely, do not trust, do not put your trust in what? What's in a div? In noblemen. We say the pasuk pshad means don't rely too much on the government. Don't rely on someone else to take care of you. The kavanas hazar, but the chedushim says, you know what? It's warning us. Afilu al mi shahapasuk kor nediv. Even a person who's in a div in the sense of holiness, even the tzaddikei ador, al tivtuchu b'nedivim. Don't rely too much on what? On a tzaddik to take care of you. Uve emes, he writes, but Prashischa, in the world of Prashischa, or Simcha Bunu of Prashischa, the Yira Kadosh, the world of the Ge'er Rebbe's, the Kutzker Rebbe, these people were fiercely independent. In the world of Prashischa, hayahu me'ain harbe bezeh. Im lo hayatov yoser levatel as the Indian hanhaga azos, yan ki olam soimchem atzvam yoser midai ala tzadikim. In Prashischa, they were ready to shut it all down. Do you know that the Kutzker Rebbe locked himself away for the last 20 years of his life? He basically didn't interact with anyone. Locked away from the public. What is Rabbi Nachman talking about? Being distant with your children about? But he's teaching that there's such a danger of a person becoming so needy that they can't do anything on their own. V'ani choshev she'ein zus sh'ayidei atzadikim yigram b'l'bnei Yisrael tarti l'rayusa. So he says, listen, if the tzaddik abandons the people, so then, you know, they're double trouble because they can't do it on their own and now they don't have a true tzaddik. They'll end up going some other fake tzaddik. But you understand the concern that these tzaddikim were talking about here. Again, if the chassidim don't want, then the tzaddikim can't help. A person has to know what they want. A person has to be self-sufficient and self-motivated. We say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach that there are four sons. There's a chacham, there's a Rasha, there's a Tam, there's a She'enu Yodei Alishol. He doesn't even know how to ask. What do we do for the She'enu Yodei Alishol? It says in the Haggadah, At Psach Lo. Explains the Shem Yishmuel in his Haggadah Shel Pesach. Why is it At? Why is it Nekeva? At. Why is it in the female? Why is it in the masculine? Ata. So he explains from his father. His father was the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer was the son-in-law of the Kutzker. So we're in the same base medrash, people who are fiercely independent. Dinei harav halo made him a Talmud. When a Rebbe teaches a Talmud, Chevra, I'm happy to help you. I'm here to help you. We're going to look at a Tosos today. I'm here to help you. We're going to work on a Ran today. I'm happy to help you. Try to decipher the Ran. That's my job. But the Rav is a Zachar, plays the masculine role, Mashpia, and the Talmud is an Akeva. Then the Talmud is more on the receiving end. I've been doing most of the talking for the last 40 minutes. Right? That's the way it somewhat has to be. Ach ein ze iker hakavana. But the goal is that at some point, I'm going to shut my mouth and you'll be able to have what to say on your own. Elisha Rav yiftach letalmid pesach shu ba'atzmo ye'orir atzmo. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to put ideas and planting seeds in your mind that will hopefully be able to sprout on their own. And then what? And then the Rebbe becomes like a nekeva. The Rebbe is able to be quiet, and the Talmud is able to continue to be fruitful on his own. The way that, again, the man is mashpia, his zera, to a woman who then fertilizes the egg and nurtures the child within her. So says the Shem Yishmuel, a she'eni yodei alishol, a person who doesn't even know how to ask a question, at psachlo, it's in the nekeva. It's in the Nekeva because the goal is what? The goal is that eventually you're going to be able to do it on your own. The goal is that you should become self-sufficient. The Kutzker Rebbe, he says, my grandfather, Shem Yishmuel's grandfather was a Kutzker Rebbe. My grandfather, the Kutzker Rebbe, said, I am a big enough tzaddik to make the whole world into chassidim if I want. Shai b'yachot lasos mikol olam chassidim. I could turn everyone into a Kutzker chassid. And you know what the Kutzker said? I could care less. That's not my goal. My goal is not to have the most followers on my Twitter. Aval ein zeh tov. That's not the goal. It's not the name of the game. Va'perish kanis kaleil. What my grandfather was saying is that he could be mashpia neshamos gavos. I could force people to be the greatest Jews, but I don't want to force anyone to do anything. I want to inspire you to do it on your own. V'zeh einu nachon. That's not proper, and that's what it means. At pesachlo, make an opening for him. Don't spend your whole life. The She'eni Yodei Lishol. Okay, right now he doesn't know how to ask. But eventually, hopefully, he'll be able to develop his own ideas, his own words. He'll be able to stand on his own two feet. Chevra, one of the greatest teachers of our yeshiva, of course, was the Rav. Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. And he explained a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that you know the words very well. Ha'amidu Talmidim Harbe. It says at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, you should have a lot of Talmidim. You should have a lot of guys in the shir. Right? I should try to convince every guy in YU to come join our shir. Right? And I did the opposite. I spent the months leading up to shir kicking guys out of shir, trying to make the shir smaller and smaller. So do I not believe in Pirkei Avos? What does it mean, ha'amidu Talmidim Harbe? Right? It means amass a lot of students. Rav Soloveitchik explained, Rav Shechter quoted in the Sefer on the Rav, Yesh leher b'lashon ha-mishnah, sh'arav mechuyev l'lamid es talmidav ad kedei kach shiyu atzmi'im. You know what the Mishnah is really saying? The goal of Rebbe is to make your Talmud independent. You know what it means, ha'amidu talmidim harbe? And by the way, the Chazon Ish said the same shot. Ha'amidu talmidim harbe. Stand up your talmidim a lot. Stand up your talmidim a lot. Give people the strength to stand on their own. There's nothing more inspiring than seeing a guy who I haven't seen in a couple of years, who of course I still love and of course I still think about, and whatever reason, we haven't kept in touch that much. And I see him and I can just see from the way he's acting and the way that he looks and the way that he's talking, I can see that he's a growing Jew. That's the greatest, for me, that's the greatest simcha in the world. To know that he has the strength to keep going on his own. And now he's working, and now he's married, and now he has a kid, and life's getting busy. But he's standing on his own two feet. Hamidu talmidim harbe. Stand up your talmidim a lot. That they should be able to think independently. That they should be able to know what to do when they're in a situation and you're not able to call the Rebbe. Okay, last but not least. Final source for today. Ritzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld. However, there was a very, very interesting yid named Ritzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld. I gave you a little biography of him at the bottom of the page. He passed away in the 1970s, 1978. He was a Rav who is responsible in many respects for bringing the Torah of Rabbi Nachman to America. If you saw Ritzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld, you would say, this guy's a Breslover. He looks like a regular, I don't know, looks like a regular Jewish person. He doesn't look like a Breslover Chassid. But he was a fierce, fierce Breslover Chassid, and he taught a lot of Torah of Breslov, and he gave shiurim, beautiful shiurim on Sichos Haran, which Rabbi Shlomo Katz, the teacher and musician from Eretz Yisrael, put out in a couple of volumes called Rabbi Nachman's Souls. That's this volume that I'm holding here, based on the teachings of Ritzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld. Amazing shiurim that he was giving for decades in the mid-1900s, here in America of all places. Okay, and he explains the following idea. I'll end with this. Okay, here's what he writes on this piece that we learned from Rabbi Nachman today. This is a lesson for a Jew to know. You put your heart and soul into trying to do tshuva, into trying to serve Hashem. Again, let's think about it in the context of where we're up to in the calendar. We just came out of Yom Noah, and we came out of a Sukkot, we came out of a Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, and we cry out before Hashem, Karveinu Malkeinu Lavod Asecha. Hashem, we want to be close. We want to return to you. Return us to your Torah. A Jew may find that he's saying this prayer with all the kavanah he can muster, and yet it seems to him that his words are being ignored, that he doesn't find the response from heaven. How often do we feel that? I've had this conversation with some of the people here on numerous occasions. The frustration of davening and feeling like, why is Hashem pushing me away? Does he love me or not? Can it be chas v'shalom that Hashem is, so to speak, not listening to my tefilos? The answer is, a Jew should know that Hashem is our Father in heaven. So immediately we say, right, so that means you should love me like a parent loves a child unconditionally. True. But we learned today, Rabbi Nachman taught that a healthy parent-child relationship, a healthy Rebbe-Talmud relationship, has times of closeness and times of being distant. So part of the way that Hashem actually draws close to you is by sometimes pushing you away. Hashem pushes you back. If Hashem shows a person a lack of closeness, it's not because he does not like the Jew. It's not because he doesn't like you. A father might repel a child who wants to show devotion, but at the same time, a father, that same father, will sacrifice everything he has for the sake of his child. So too, Hashem's love for the child below is so great. To Hashem, a Jew is more precious than all of creation, everything you see, heaven and earth and more. The angels in heaven, where one single angel or the toe of an angel is larger and greater than all entire earth below, is nothing compared to the love that Hashem has for one little yid. Hashem wants the Jew as a sinner. He even wants that Jew as turned away from him. Hashem wants this Jew back. If it seems to the Jew that Hashem is turning away from him and not listening, he should know, listen, this is the act of a true father. A father who has true ava to a child, who can't pretend to be his son's best friend. It's not going to help. It's not going to help his child long term. It's going to cripple his child. Continue your beseeching. Continue davening to Hashem with your whole heart. And eventually, says Rav Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld, you'll find that Hashem will draw you close to him with a true ava, as that's shown to tzaddikim. Chaver, like we learned today, smolo dochek, v'yamino miskareves. Smolo tachas roshi, v'yamino tichabkeni. And he concludes the page. A Jew can realize the greatest elevation if he just knows the following. There must be a yerida before an aliyah, a descent before going up. There must be hisrachus before hiskarvus. If you can't be far, you can't be close. An estrangement before this closeness that he seeks. Okay, so Chavra, I think we took a not so easy piece of Torah from Rabbeinu, from Rabbi Nachman, and I hope it makes a lot of sense now. I hope it will inform all of your relationships. Again, whether it's my relationship with you or your relationship with other Rabbeim, your relationship, those who are, a couple of Chavra here are married, with your wife, relationship with your parents, relationship with your Chavrusas. But you have to understand, if we want to always be close, it's going to destroy the relationship. And that's the balance that Rabbi Nachman is so brilliantly teaching us. Okay, let's hear questions or comments. Yehuda.
I recently heard something from someone in this year. If he wants to take over for me, when he recognizes himself, be my guest, I'll probably say it wrong. But he was talking about